Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
PackersReport.com and host of the Pack-A-Day podcast, Andy Herman, joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline. You can get a hold of him on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. Andy, how you doing?
Hey, Bill. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Hey, let's start off with the Packers' needs. How would you prioritize the needs now that we're talking combine and guys at the combine?
Yeah, it's a really interesting conversation because I think there's certainly holes in a variety of different positions. But I've been kind of a little bit maybe a beat off of maybe what a lot of other people are thinking as kind of that common need. And I'm really at defensive line. And the reason that I say that is I think Kenny Clark needs help in the interior of that defense. And I go back to the four games that they lost from a season ago. You look at that Philadelphia game, the two 49ers games, and the Chargers game. They simply could not stop the run in any of those games. And that was certainly a major issue throughout the course of those four games, and one of the real reasons that they lost, and certainly lost in the NFC Championship game. So I think you look at, trying to address that. And I think the bigger thing even is you look at a player like Kenny Clark. I shudder to think at the moment if he would go down with some sort of injury for a few weeks, you know, how they would plug the holes in the middle of that defense with the roster as it is. You know, Montrevious Adams, a little bit of a disappointment at this point, to say the least. You know, Tyler Lancaster's a nice player, but he has a ways to go. You know, I just don't think, you know, D. Lowry, same kind of thing. So I just don't think that they necessarily have the meat up front to be able to stop the run consistently. And I don't necessarily know that this is a team that wants to spend a high-priced free agent or a high draft pick on an inside linebacker. It seems to be a position that they haven't valued a ton. And I think if you kind of want to get away with that, I think you have to have the guys up front that can kind of keep those linebackers clean. And I don't think they have the guys to do that right now.
So priority wise, you're talking more beef in the middle. I think we're all in agreement. Look, Aaron Rodgers needs weapons, whether it's two wide receivers, one wide. I see, because I think they need to go into the free agent market. You need an additional linebacker free agent wise, and you need a wide receiver free agent wise. Do you agree?
You know, the receiver thing I think is going to be the most interesting thing of this entire offseason, and that the reason being is, you know, the depth at receiver in this draft and how much, you know, both Brian Gutekunst and this Packers organization value all the depth that is in the receiver class. And the reason that I say that is, how are teams going to be willing to go out and spend big money on free agents if they feel like they can get a super talented guy in the second or third round of this draft? I know Daniel Jeremiah said he had 27 players that have, you know, first three-round grades at wide receiver in this draft. So how does that affect the guys at the top of the draft? Are teams going to want to spend a premium pick on a CeeDee Lamb or a Henry Ruggs or a Jerry Jeudy when they can, you know, stay in the second or third round and still get a super talented wide receiver? And are they going to want to give a guy like Robbie Anderson $12 to $14 million per year if they can get a guy in the second or third round? So I think the receiver, you know, position is super interesting. But to your point, you have a head coach in Matt LaFleur and a quarterback in Aaron Rodgers that I believe would both value a veteran wide receiver certainly more than they would a rookie wide receiver. And the reason I say that, I actually had the opportunity to talk to Taylor Merritt, the offensive lineman for the Badgers a while back, who played in Tennessee for Matt LaFleur, and I asked him what was the most difficult position to learn in Matt LaFleur's offense. And he said it was wide receiver. Without hesitating, he said wide receiver is the most difficult position to learn in that offense. So I think you bring in a rookie wide receiver, and I think you might see a 1 to 2 year time frame for them to kind of develop in that offense. And Aaron Rodgers, we know, you know, he wants that very particular route running. He wants to know that they're going to be at a very specific spot, and he wants it done precisely every single time. And we've seen some younger rookie receivers struggle with that a little bit. So I'm with you in the fact that I think they could definitely go the veteran route at wide receiver.
So that being said, how much faith do you have in the tight end position at Jay Sternberger?
Yeah, it's a great question. I do think that there's a lot of potential with Jay Sternberger, but I think if you've seen one thing with this Packers organization over the course of the last 4 years, it's that they want to value this tight end position a ton. They went Jared Cook free agency, Martellus Bennett, and you know Jimmy Graham, highest paid tight end, and Mercedes Lewis in that same free agent class, and then a top 100 draft pick last year in Jay Sternberger. And you look at it this year, assuming they release Jimmy Graham, you know, right now on the roster, they've got Sternberger and Tanyan, and that's all they kind of have to show for all of that. So I think this is a massive position that they need to address, that they want to address, and they want to get right. And I'm not sure that relying on a second-year Jay Sternberger as the sole player to do that is probably the right way to go. As far as a name potentially in free agency, I'm not sure how willing they are going to be to give, you know, top free agent money again at the position, but we've seen them do it in the past, and a player that just stands out to me as a Brian Gutekunst sort of guy is Austin Hooper. And the reason I say that, you look at his free agent signings from a season ago, they all had one very, you know, important thing in common. They were all coming off the first year of their deal. They were still young. They hadn't reached their prime yet. And they were big kind of physical guys, you know, athletic guys. And I think Austin Hooper fits that to a T. He's only 24 years old. He has the size, and it's at a position that they obviously put a ton of value in. So whether or not they bite the bullet on that, it remains to be seen, but it seems to be a player that screams, you know, Brian Gutekunst.
So I want to go to the defensive side of the football. What do you think of, and by the way, we're talking with Andy Herman from the Packaday podcast, also PackersReport.com, but what do you think of the secondary? Because it seems to be something that we don't talk about a whole lot because we believe it's pretty solidified, but do you think there's enough depth there?
I do think there's enough depth, and I think maybe one of the key things that's already happened this offseason is the addition of Jerry Gray. And the reason that I say that is you have every flavor of defensive back that you need to be successful in today's day and age. You've got the quick, you know, really all-pro caliber, you know, corner in Jaire Alexander. You've got the, you know, bigger, more physical, athletic guy in Kevin King. You have a Chandon Sullivan, who I think the world of. I think he had tremendous play both in training camp and through preseason in the regular season last year when he was on the field. You've got a Josh Jackson. I think Kadar Holloman has potential. And then at safety, you've got Adrian Amos. You've got the first-round super-talented Darnell Savage, Raven Green, even Ibrahim Campbell, who can obviously play, you know, both that linebacker and safety role. So you have everything that you need to be ultra-successful from a defensive back standpoint. But make no mistake about it, through the last couple of years, this has been a secondary that has struggled at times and has not been able to put everything together. Specifically, guys like Jackson and King have, you know, kind of fluctuated with their play. So I think they have absolutely everything they need to be successful and win at a high level in the secondary. But I think it's going to be now up to Jerry Gray and the defensive backs coach to really get the most out of the secondary. And I think if this team really would make a better run next year than they did this year, I think it can really be because this secondary lives up to expectations.
Do you feel they made the right choice in keeping Mike Pettine as the defensive coordinator?
I do. And I, you know, they mentioned this week, I think it was Matt LaFleur mentioned this week, that it was never really under discussion. I'm kind of the belief that Matt LaFleur, when he kind of was asked if he was going to keep Pettine or not, and kind of said, hey, we haven't even got to those discussions yet, I think he was just trying to cut off any further questions of, you know, who's going to be here, who's not going to be here. And I don't think that he was ever really considering it. But as far as whether or not that was the right move or not, I do think that he, you know, Mike Pettine overachieved in his first year in Green Bay. Even though the stats weren't great, I thought he did the best he could with not a ton of talent on defense in 2018. In 2019, you know, there were flashes of it. We saw it against some teams, frankly, that didn't have the best quarterbacks, but we saw it in flashes that they could really, you know, play at a high level. But in some of the big moments and some of the bigger games against San Francisco, the second half against Seattle, the defense kind of melted down a little bit. So I don't think they were ever looking to move on. I think it was the right move to bring him back, but I don't think there's any way that he's not under the microscope this coming season.
Well, that just did. I mean, he's had success everywhere he's ever gone, and you go back to what Dom Capers was working with. He took basically the same guys the year after and went from 29th in the league to 15th in the league, and this year it was even better. I would only assume that it's going to continue to get better under Mike Pettine. I agree about the microscope side of things, but the question always is it the talent or is it the coaching? I thought the comments from Za'Darius Smith were basically it was the talent that he was blaming and not the coaching. And when Matt LaFleur said, oh, there was never a thought of getting rid of Mike Pettine, do you believe him?
I do believe him, and I kind of agree with Za'Darius Smith. I think this had a baked-in issue that you know, kind of manifested itself at some of the worst times, and that was the weakness in the middle of the defense. And kind of as I mentioned before, and why I put the defensive linemen on the top of the pedestal is something that they need to address. They had Kenny Clark in the middle of the defense, phenomenal player, but then the Lowrys, the Lancasters, the Adams, the you know, things like he's not ready yet. And then, you know, Blake Martinez, I just think had limitations at that linebacker position, and then they didn't have anyone really at all that was consistent in playing next to him at a high level. And I just think that ultimately was a major weakness. And I think I love Mike Pettine's philosophy of wanting to go small, wanting to play fast, and wanting to win with matchups on the defensive side of the ball. But I think they have to do a better job of kind of eating their vegetables on first down so that they can stop the run and get into some of those second and third and long situations where they can use that athleticism and use that speed, because teams killed them on first down last year, and it was constantly second and third and short, and they never had the ability to really utilize all that speed and that athleticism on defense because it was always at favorable down and distances for the offense. So I think that's where Green Bay has to get better going into next season.
Again, talking with Andy Herman of PackerReport.com and host of the Pack-A-Day podcast. So what do you have your eye on? Is there anybody in particular that you're thinking to yourself, this is somebody in the first or second round I would love to see this team get that is going to bolster X position?
Yeah, as far as the draft goes, you know, I'll be totally transparent. I'm still evaluating a lot of these guys. I'm still kind of early in the process. Obviously, we're just getting into the combine. I think, you know, Justin Jefferson at wide receiver from LSU, I think he brings a lot of, you know, interesting traits as a potential slot receiver. And he just also, you know, kind of screams a Packers type of draft pick. He's got the size. He's got the athleticism. He can do some run after the catch. And he's a player that really has kind of caught my eye as just somebody that I can see them targeting. From a draft standpoint, if they did look defensive line, I think that Michael Pierce could be somebody, you know, that has that connection with Mill Hendrickson from the Ravens. It obviously was Za'Darius Smith playing there as well. So from a free agency side, I could see them maybe going there. And then, as I mentioned earlier, on the offensive side, I think Austin Hooper makes a lot of sense potentially as somebody they would target on the offensive side of the ball.
And right, real quick before I let you go, do you like the fact that they ended up getting rid of their wide receivers coach? They are still looking for another wide receivers coach. And is it the wide receivers coach's fault that a lot of the young guys that they were depending on, such as Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Geronimo Allison, do you think that those two guys didn't get it because of coaching?
Yeah, I think it's always tough to say from the outside as to what, you know, the issue was as to why, you know, guys didn't progress. I think as a whole, you didn't see a lot of progression from guys like MVS. You know, Jamon Moore, they had to, you know, cut ties with in the offseason. Equanimeous St. Brown didn't show a ton of progression even before he went down with injury, kind of in training camp in the preseason. A guy like Darius Shepherd had some potential. You didn't see him progress. But at the same token, you know, you saw Alan Lazard come up and play really, really well kind of from out of nowhere. And you would think that, you know, the wide receivers coach would probably get some credit for that as well. But I will say the thing that I like about it is the fact that, you know, if they saw something that they didn't like, they weren't hesitant. They cut ties. They went in a different direction. Now, what direction would they go in? We don't know yet. But they obviously saw something that they didn't like out of that specific position or maybe that specific coach, and they moved on. And I think that holds people accountable moving forward.
Always great to talk, Andy. I certainly appreciate it. Best of luck, and we'll talk down the road as the draft gets upon us, okay?
Can't wait. Thanks.
Appreciate
so much,
it, pal. Talk to you soon. There you go, PackerReport.com and PackerAPodcast.com. That's Andy Herman joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them, 844-PRIDE, or go to SchneiderJobs.com. That's 844-PRIDE, or go to SchneiderJobs.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.